Beis Daf is Sanhedrin Daf Chof Beis, and we are 15 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Aleph Amid Beis. So the last few Mishnayos in Perikon Gadol have been discussing the halachis of a melech. The Mishnah said on the top of Daf Chof Aleph Amid Beis, the Kosev Lo Sefer Torah L'Shmoy, that the melech had to write his own personal Sefer Torah. The Mishnah said, Yoytze L'Molchama Maitziya Imoy, when the melech went to war, he would take this Sefer Torah with him. Nichnas Hu Machnise Imoy, Yoyshev Bedid He Imoy, Meisev Hish Kenegdoi Shenemar V'Hoyse Imoy V'Karabai Koyom. So the melech had an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. This was a personal Sefer Torah that he wrote for himself, and this Sefer Torah would always be with him. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Ubilvad, Shelo, Yisna, and Mishav HaVoysav, that ordinarily the king's father was probably also a king. So I would have thought, says the Braisa, that a melech that inherited a Sefer Torah from his father, perhaps he doesn't have to write his own Sefer Torah, but rather he can use the Sefer Torah that he got from his father. Says the Braisa, that's not okay. Ubilvad, Shelo, Yisna, Mishav HaVoysav, he has an obligation to write, like the Mishnah says, V'koisev lo Sefer Torah, he has an obligation to write his own Sefer Torah. Amar Rava, Rava said, Afa pishin nichol HaVoysav lo'odam Sefer Torah, even though a person, not a melech, an ordinary person, yarshin a Sefer Torah from his father, mitzvah, he has a mitzvah to write his own Sefer Torah. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Va'ata kisvu lachem es hashira." That's the makar to the mitzvah ksiva Sefer Torah. And Rava said that not only does a person have a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, but even if he inherited a Sefer Torah from his father, mitzvah lichtav mishaloi, he has a mitzvah to write his own Sefer Torah. Esvei abayos, abayas the kasho. The braisa that we began today's daf with said, v'koisav lei Sefer Torah l'shmoi, that the melech has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. U'bilvad shaloi yisna mishalacher. And he has to make sure that he doesn't use his father's or his grandfather's Sefer Torah, but rather he has an obligation to write his own Sefer Torah. What's the kasha? It's mashma melech in hedyot loy, that only a melech has an obligation to write his own Sefer Torah. But in hedyot, an ordinary person does not have an obligation to write his own Sefer Torah. So how could Rava and Amira say that even a hedyot has an obligation to write his own Sefer Torah? From the braisa, it's mashma that it's one of the dinim that a miyuchad for the melech. A king has his own Shulchan Aruch. One of the laws in the king's Shulchan Aruch is that he has an obligation to write his own Sefer Torah, even if he inherited a Sefer Torah from his father. It's mashma that an ordinary person, a hedyot, would not have an obligation to write his own Sefer Torah in the event that he inherited from his father. Says the Gemara, it's not true. Really, every person has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. And that obligation says that even if he inherited a Sefer Torah from his father, still he has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. You can't be Yoitza with a Sefer Torah that you inherited from your father. You have an obligation to write your own Sefer Torah. Why then did the Braisa say it only by Melech? Because a Melech had an obligation not only to have one Sefer Torah, not only to fulfill the 613th mitzvah in the Torah, which is Va'ata Kisvu Lechem Es Hashira Azoyz, mitzvahs Ksiva Sefer Torah, but he had an obligation to write a second Sefer Torah. And it's the second Sefer Torah that the Braisa is saying that even that Sefer Torah, he has to write his own, and even that he can't inherit from his father. Meaning, the regular chiyuv that every single yid has to write a Sefer Torah, that Rava said is true for every yid, and even if he inherited it from his father, still he would have to write his own Sefer Torah. What about a melech second Sefer Torah? You could have thought that maybe the second Sefer Torah is different. That's the braisa, that the melech who has an obligation to have a second Sefer Torah, that second Sefer Torah follows the same guidelines as the first Sefer Torah, which applies to all yidin, and even that Sefer Torah, he has to make sure that he writes, even if he yarshin from his father. Tanya, we learned to the braisa, where do you find that a melech has an obligation to write two Sefer Torah, v'kosev loy es mishnah hat? So this is a pasuk that the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time with now. It's going to be when the king is going to sit al kisei mamlachdoi v'kosav loy es mishnah ha-toyra hazois al sefer milifnei ha-kayim ha-levim. So we're all familiar with the term mishnah ha-toyra. It's a pasuk in the Torah. It's dvarim perik yitzayin pasuk yutches. And it's mentioned in the context of the melech. The melech has an obligation to write mishnah ha-toyra. What does it mean? Koisav lishmoy shtei toyra. It's mishnah like Lecha Mishnah. Two Sifrei Torah. Achas sheyotze v'nechnasas imoy. One that he comes and goes with. That's the Sefer Torah that the Mishnah mentioned. That's the special Sefer Torah that a melech was supposed to have. Achas and one like an ordinary yitchem. Unachas lebeis kenazov that he keeps hidden. Oisah sheyotze v'nechnasas imoy. The one that he comes and goes with in a nichas bais not allowed to take. Loy lebeis hamerches not into a bais merchitz. V'loy lebeis hakisei and not into a bais hakisei. Shenema v'hoisei imoy v'kara boy. It says that the Sefer Torah will be with the Melech, and he will read from it. Mokleim haro'uy likreis boy. He could only take it in a place where he's allowed to read from it. And being that you're not allowed to learn Torah in a base merchitz, you're not allowed to learn Torah in a base akisei. By the way, the Magen Avraham brings from the Sefer Chassidim that if a person is in a base akisei and he's having machshava zorois, he's thinking about things that he's not supposed to think about, it's okay for him to learn Torah. But either way, v'kara boy, mokleim haro'uy likreis boy. So that's the laws of the Sefer. What about the other Sefer Torah? It's anyways base gnozov. If it's anyways base gnozov, he's not really going anywhere with it. Either way, this Gemara right here, tucked away in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, is one of the two places in Shas, one of the two primary places in Shas, where the Gemara discusses the 613th mitzvah in the Torah, mitzvahs, ksivas, sefer Torah. And the Gemara doesn't just quote the halacha, but the Gemara mentions it in a context, that afal pi shehi nicholei avos of adam sefer Torah, that even if somebody yarshed the sefer Torah from his father, still, mitzvah lichta mishaloi, it doesn't matter. You can't be yoytze the mitzvah with the sefer Torah that you yarshin, but rather you have an obligation to write your own Sefer Torah shenemar va'atu kisvo lochem es hashira. So the mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah is something that's come up in the daf many times, but ein beis medrash b'lo chiddush. Just some of the things that we've spoken about not so long ago. Number one, we know that the Shulchan Aruch brings that even though there's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, but ha'idna nowadays that people don't learn from Sefer Torah anymore, but rather today people learn from Svarim, mitzvah lichtoiv chumshei Torah u'mishnah v'gemara u'perusheyem. There's a mitzvah for a person to learn or write ordinary Svarim. The Makar, of course, to the Shulchan Aruch is the Rush, where the Rush says that once upon a time where people used to learn from a Sefer Torah, so the mitzvah was to write a Sefer Torah. You had to make sure you would have what to learn from. The whole purpose of the mitzvah Sefer Torah is to learn from it. But now, says the Rush, that people don't learn from Sefer Torah anymore. So ha'idna, it's this Rush that the Mechaber brings in Simen Ayin Reish, right? You don't say Reish Ayin. Simen Ayin Reish of Cotton Days. Ha'idna mitzvah lichtoiv chumshei Torah u'mishnah u'gemara u'pirushen. If you take a look in the Shach and the Taz, there's a big discussion in the Poskim what exactly the Rush meant. Did the Rush mean that today there's no mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah at all? Or did the Rush mean that today, in addition to the mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, there's also an obligation for a person to write Svarim? But Avada, he didn't mean that there's no obligation at all, Bezman Hazeh, to write a Sefer Torah. L'maisetz machlikis to Beis Yosef and the Drisha, but the Shach and the Taz both seem to say that it would make sense that the mitzvah Bezman Hazeh is to write a Sefer Torah. It's just in addition, ha'idna, there's also a mitzvah lichtev chum sheteru mishnah gemara perushem. But Avada Gevis, it doesn't mean that today there's only a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. We've spoken about the Shag Yisariyeh many times. The Shag Yisariyeh that the Michas Chinuch quotes at length in Siman Teish, Tov Reish Yud Gimel Mitzvah Tayag, where the Shag Yisariyeh says that, being that the Rambam says, in order to be yoytze the mitzvah to the Sefer Torah, you have to write a kosher Sefer Torah. And if there's one detail that's off with the Sefer Torah, not yoytze the mitzvah, and one of the details in the kosher Sefer Torah is you have to get all the chaseiros and the yaseiros right. So you have to know if pasukos is written with a vav or without a vav, etc., etc. And the Gemara says in Kedushin Daf Lamed Amud Aleph that bizman hazeh, we're not bikiyim anymore in chaseiros v'yaseiros. So based on that, back of the envelope arithmetic says the Shag Yisariyeh, it's not possible for a person to be mekayim in the mitzvah. So the Shag Yisariyeh wanted to be melamed tzchus. He says, let me buy, according to the Poskim, that hold that there's anyways no mitzvah today to write a Sefer Torah. But even if there is a mitzvah, I don't think you're going to get it right. What are the chances you're going to get it right? I mean, that statistically speaking, you're probably not getting it right anyways. There's no point. So there's no mitzvah, there's man hazeh, for a person to write a Sefer Torah. Michas Chinuch has a major problem with that. Really, Shag Yisariyeh, today we don't know the chseres v'yaseres. He's not comfortable with that. He says, number one, you have a whole sugi in Shas, yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemesoris. You see that amayram with bikiyim and chseres v'yaseres. So if they were bikiyim, why should we assume that it was forgotten after that? He says, Va'oid, freaked the Minchas Chinuch. Tfillin, Mezuzahs, also you have to know chaseris v'yaseris. The Taitafa is Mali chasis. He's going to tell me that what? We're not mekayim mitzvahs tefillin mezuzahs either. It doesn't make sense. What did the Gemara mean in Kedushin, daf lamed amud aleph? It meant chaseris v'yaseris that don't impact the halacha. Those chaseris v'yaseris are not ma'akiv in the kashrus of a sefer Torah. That's not the chaseris v'yaseris that the Rambam said that if you missed out one or added another, you can't be mekayim the mitzvah. So it's poshy to be able to mekayim the mitzvah bizman. Another ha'ar that we spoke about in the end of Masechtas Bava Basra, and it's a Teres Chaim right here on this Gemara. So if we spoke about it when we were learning Perkei Shneichlin, I think we should talk about it when it's right here. Yeah, I know, it sort of goes against the grain of what we do. It's not hashtag what we do, but it's probably worth an honorable mention at the very least. So the Teres Chaim says right here that what's the makar to the mitzvah of Ksiva Seva Torah? Va'ata kisvu lochem, says the Teres Chaim, a chiddush gadol. He says, Lachem, does that word sound familiar? Yeah, it makes a lot of tumult when you learn the third parak in the Sechta Sukkah. Parak Lulav HaGazel, Ulekachtam Lachem B'yem Erishan. And what do we learn from there? That you could only be Yoytza Dalad Minim, the first day Sukkahs, with a Dalad Minim that belongs to you. But if you have a Lulav HaGazel or a Lulav HaShaul, if it's not Lachem, if you are not the owner of the Dalad Minim, you can't be Yoytza, the mitzvah of Ulekachtam Lachem. Says the Teres Chaim, the same would be true regarding Sefer Torah. In order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Sefer Torah, you'd have to own the Sefer Torah. But if it's not Lachem, you can't be Yoytza. Says the Teres Chaim, I've seen Gvirim, they write Sefer Torah, and the menad of it, they do a beautiful thing. They give it to their favorite charity, they give it to their favorite base medrash, they give it to their local shul. It's very nice on the one hand, but they're not being the kind of mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is va'ata kisvu lachem, it has to be lachem. So he says the Teres Chaim, you're going to tell me, what shaychis? What are you talking about? The mitzvah is write it. When I wrote it, it was lachem. Who cares what I do afterwards? Says the Teres Chaim, it's nisht emes, because the Rambam says that if somebody would lose a Sefer Torah, he would have to write a new Sefer Torah. What do you have to write a new Sefer Torah? There's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. It's a one-time mitzvah. I did it. Now that I lost it, who cares? Vaisleis, the mitzvah is not just to write it. The mitzvah is to write it and to keep it and to maintain it. And it's for that reason, says the Torah, Chayim, two chedushim. Number one, the mitzvah is not just writing it. The mitzvah is having it. And number two, if the mitzvah is having it, it has to be lochem. V'atakis v'lochem. So if you're going to be menad of it, even to a beis medrash, to a beis akness, it doesn't matter. You're not going to be yoytzeh. We spoke at the Mechaz Chinuch's kasha. Mechaz Chinuch says that we know you're not allowed to sell a sefer Torah unless one or two criteria are met. Tosfos says there's a third. Lisa, Isha, Lil my Torah. Tosfos says pidyon shvuim. Tosfos above a basket of chesam and beis. But those are the only exceptions to rules. The only times that you're allowed to ever sell a sefer Torah. Faith in Mechaz Chinuch, it sounds like if a person has one sefer, how many sefer Torah do you have? You have one sefer Torah. Lil my Torah of Lisa, Isha, very important mitzvahs. Sell your sefer Torah. According to the Teres Chaim, when you sell your sefer Torah, you're being mevatel a mitzvah mikanu lahaba. Mechaz Chinuch says you don't find anywhere that the Chacham would tell you be mevatel a mitzvah. It's a bishloim if you already did the mitzvah when you wrote it. The mitzvah's done. It's bygones. Now it's just a beautiful thing that you have. You have a sefer Torah. You could learn from it. It's wonderful. So lil my Torah, at least you should sell that sefer Torah. But if you're telling me that you need the sefer Torah in order to be mekayim a mitzvah, are you going to tell me on Sukkah sell your dalad minim so you should be able to learn Torah? Doesn't make sense. You're not going to tell a person to go be a dayim and be mevatel a mitzvah esedei raisa. Either way, so that's also something that we've spoken about. But Ein Beis Medrash B'loi Chiddush, and I spoke earlier today with Harav HaGoyin, Kvod Kedushas HaAdmer, Rashke Bahag, Rabbi Yaakov Bienenfeld, Sheyichi Elam Toivim Varuchim. You get it? Sheyichi Elam Toivim. We weren't sure where I was going with that. I'm a chuna b'shem Rabbi Bienenfeld. So he showed me. So he told me a whole chabura, a whole arichos regarding the mitzvah, ksiva sefer Torah. So unfortunately, I didn't have time to really sit down and go through all the Maram Mekoymis with the Shagasariyeh and a Mechaz Chinuch and Maram Shik, a beautiful arichos regarding the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. But just one har that he told me that's definitely worth mentioning, and that is, we just learned the Gemara. Rava said, "Afal pishe nicholai avoysav la'adam sefer Torah mitzvah lichtav mishalei." Even though a person inherited a sefer Torah from his father, still there's a mitzvah for him to go ahead and write the sefer Torah. What do you see from there? The mitzvah is not just to have a sefer Torah. The mitzvah is to write a sefer Torah. Kasha is that the Gemara says in Masechtas Menachos, Daf Lamed Amid Aleph, Amar Rav Gida, Amar Rav, Lekech Sefer Torah Menashok. If somebody buys a Sefer Torah Menashok, Kechoytev Mitzvah Menashok. It's as if he chapped a Mitzvah Menashok. Funny lashon. If somebody buys a Sefer Torah, so we're talking about writing a Sefer Torah, that's Muhudar. inheriting a Sefer Torah, we just learned the Gemara. That's not good. That is the Gemara over here. Sanhedrin Chafala from the base. Says the Gemara, what if somebody buys a Sefer Torah? It's Kechaytev Mitzvah V'Nashok. Talk to Eliger Rashi. What does it mean, Kechaytev Mitzvah? Mitzvah Ava. He did the Mitzvah. Avali Kosev, if he would write it, have a Mitzvah Yaseir Tvei. It would be a bigger Mitzvah. But if somebody buys a Sefer Torah, he gets the Mitzvah. So the Kasha that Tachreinim asks is, what's the difference between inheriting a Sefer Torah and buying a Sefer Torah? If you inherit a Sefer Torah, you're not making the Mitzvah. But if you buy a Sefer Torah, it's Kechaytev Mitzvah Menashok. But despite the fact that it's Kechaytev Mitzvah Menashok, says Rashi, what that means is that you're making the Mitzvah. So why, if you buy it, are you making the Mitzvah? Yet if you inherit it, you're not making the Mitzvah. So you told me that some achrenim say that the chiluk is very simple. When you inherit a sefer Torah, you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. Yerusha is bimemela. When you buy a sefer Torah, you did a maisa. So even though you didn't write it, but at least you bought it. And the maisa lekicha, the maisa kinyan that you did, in and of itself is a maisa. So maybe it's enough that you do a maisa. The Mechas Chinuch brings in a mitzvah tafreish yud gimel. He dismisses it. He doesn't agree with it. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to him. But that's the kasha. The kasha is, what's the difference between buying a sefer Torah and inheriting a sefer Torah? So he showed me a beautiful Maram Malkim, the Maram Shik, and it's behektim. The Ramah brings this halacha. The Ramah says, if somebody buys a Sefer Torah, and he didn't edit the Sefer Torah at all, as if he was chaytef mitzvah menashok, and he's not yotze. So if somebody buys a Sefer Torah, listen to the Ramah, he's chaytef mitzvah, the ain't a yotze b'zeh. Freaktiv gra in bir hagra, the ain't a yotze. Ramos can get Rashi. Rashi said, what does it mean, kachaytev mitzvah? Mitzvah avad. He did do the mitzvah. So how could the Ramah, it's the short Torah, b'shem deribah. But the point is, how could you go connected to Rashi? So says the Vilna Goyen, that it's connected Rashi. V'divrei Rashi, ikr, says the Vilna Goyen, not like the Ramah. That avad, if somebody would buy a Sefer Torah, he would be yotze the mitzvah. It's kachaytev mitzvah v'nashok, which although it sounds like he didn't do a good thing, Rashi says, no, mitzvah ka'avid. You are mekayim the mitzvah. So the Ramah is a pella. How do you understand Pshat in this Ramah? Says the Ramshik, something beautiful. Says the Ramshik, let's be medayik to Gemara, in Menachis, Taf Lamed Amad Aleph. The Lashon HaGemara is, halakeach sefer Torah min ashok. Why does it say halakeach sefer Torah min ashok? You bought it from the shok. And what if you would buy it from your friend or your neighbor? It's mashma only when you buy it, menashuk, you mekayim the mitzvah. But if you buy it from an ordinary person, maybe it wouldn't be good. Says the Maram Shik, what should be the svar? The svar is gevaldik. When a person sells something in the shuk, you have a svarim store. Judaica Plaza, Zundel Bourbon. So you have a svarim store. In the svarim store, you could sell Sifrei Torah. You could sell Stam, you could sell Mezuzahs, you could sell anything. The person, the cipher that writes that Sefer Torah. So in his mind, he doesn't know who's going to buy it. Being that he doesn't know who's going to buy it, his kavana probably is that I'm writing it for whoever's going to end up buying it. The person that ends up buying it, hover hadavah lemafreya, yesh breira, that it was written for that person. So it's for that person reason the person could be yotze. Because as if he commissioned him, it's as if he hired him to go ahead and to write the Sefer Torah on his behalf. Because even though he never made him the shliach at the time that he wrote it, but the person knew that he was writing it for the masses, he had no idea who was going to end up buying it from him. And being that he had no idea who was going to end up buying it from him, Yesh Breira says that, Huvra Adav Lam Afreya, that this is the person that he wrote. But if you go to your neighbor who wrote his own Sefer Torah, and he wrote it for himself, not as a shliach for you, and now you want to buy it from him, that you can't do. Because that person, when he wrote it, didn't write it for you, and chinami, that's going to be no different than Yerusha. So the kash was, what's the difference between our Gemara and Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph on the base? And the Gemara, Masechtes Menachos Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, the Gemara and Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph on the base said that if somebody yarshes a Sefer Torah, it's not good. But the Gemara said in Menachos Daf Lamed Amud Aleph that if somebody buys a Sefer Torah, it's kechaytev mitzvah, which Rashi says means you are mekayim in the mitzvah. You know what the chilek is? When you yarshed, it was written for your father. It wasn't written for you. It's very nice. It's your father. It's a very close relative. But it wasn't written for you, and you have a mitzvah. Atakis Fulachem. You yourself have to write your own Sefer Torah. But if you buy a Sefer Torah min Ashok, being that the person wrote it, I did the Hachifu, whoever's going to end up buying it. And yesh breira. So when you buy it, Hufrer, Hadover, Lemafreya, that it was really written for you, it's as if the Sefer was your Shliach. It's your Shliach. He wrote it for you. He wrote it for you. There's no issue. When the Ramah says, Alekeach Sefer Torah, it's not good. The Eina Yoitzim is it's talking about when somebody wrote a Sefer Torah for himself. You went now and you bought it from him. Ain't a yotzeh b'zeh. That you can't be yotzeh with. I the Gemara Menachos Freik Tevil Nagoyen. Isn't it a Kenegah to Gemara? No. Because the Gemara is talking about where you were You didn't buy it from your neighbor who's trying to raise funds so Nebuchadnezzar's liquidating an asset so that he can go ahead and marry off his child, Lisa Isha. No, that's not who you're buying it from. You're buying it from a Meiches Svarim. Oh, you're buying it from a Meiches Svarim. That person wrote it stam. I died to the Hachi for whoever's going to end up buying it. That's because of the Sugi of Yesh Breira. It's in that case, it's going to work. Either way, we're just getting rolling. Amar Mazutra, the Itema Mar Ukva. Mazutra said, in the name of Mar Ukva, Betchilo. And if you've never seen this Gemara, you may be a little taken aback. So, buyer beware. Amar Mazutra, the Itema Mar Ukva, Betchilo, the Torah of the Yisrael, Bixab Ivri. Originally, when the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, Har Sinai, it was given Bixab Ivri. The Ksav, the alphabet that the Sefer Torah was written in, was Ksav Ivri, for Lashon HaKodesh. And the language was Lashon HaKodesh. Chazor v'nitlehem, another Torah was given to Klal Yisrael again, Bimei Ezra, in the times of Ezra, B'Ksav Ashuris, that's the Ksav that our Sefer Torah are written in, for Lashon Arami, and the language that the Torah was written in, was Lashon Arami. So imagine, the Sefer Torah would be written in Lashon HaKodesh, but the words would be English. So it wouldn't say Bereshis Bara Lakim. It would say in the beginning God created, but in using the Hebrew alphabet. So Aleph and the Nun for in as opposed to I-N. So originally the Ksav was Ivri and the language was Lashon Kodesh. So if you read it, what you read was Bereshis Bara Elikim Esa Shemayim Esa Aris. But it wasn't Beis Resh Aleph Shin Yud Saf. It was written Biksav Ivri. And then the Torah was given again. It was given a second time Bimei Ezra. And Bimei Ezra, it was given Biksav Ashuris, Beis, Resh, Aleph, Shin, Yud, Saf. But the language, I can't speak it, was Lashon Arami. Birulam Yisrael and Klal Yisrael decided that they're going to pick and choose. They chose Ksav Ashuris, that was the Ksav of Ezra, the Lashon HaKodesh, and they chose Lashon HaKodesh. They nichu ledyoitois, and they left for the hidyoitois Ksav Ivris, the Lashon Arami. So the Yidden took Ksav Ashuris, Ezra's Ksav, and Moshe Rabbeinu's Lashon, and they left for the Hidyoites, Ksav Ivris, which was Moshe Rabbeinu's Ksav, the Lashon Arami, Ezra's Lashon. Man, Hidyoites, Amr Chizda Kutoi. These are the Kutins, the Kuthians, also known as the Samaritans. My Ksav Ivris, what exactly is Ksav Ivris? Amr Chizda said Ksav Liboino. Ay, Rashi, exactly what Ksav Liboino is. Either way, when you read this Gemara at first glance, it seems very clear that what the Gemara is saying is that if you would have seen Moshe Rabbeinu Sefer Torah, the first Sefer Torah that the Yidden had, as a matter of fact, the Sefer Torah the Yidden had in the Midbar, the Sefer Torah that they had in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, Vayhibi Mei Shvayt HaShoiftim, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, Bayis Rishon, Golus Bavel, you would not be able to read it. It was written by Ksav Ivri. Ksav Ivri to you would look like Chinese. It was written by Ksav Ivri. It was only Bimei Ezra that the Torah was given b'ksav ashuris ubiru lehem liyisrael ksav ashuris, but until then it wasn't written yet b'ksav ashuris. Stating that this was amayroim marzutra, some say mar ukva, but the Gemara now is going to bring a brayso of three opinions regarding this. Tanya, Rabbi Yosi, Mir Rabbi Yosi said, Roy Hoy Ezra shetinosim Torah al yad liyisrael. Ezra was so great that really he was of the caliber that he could have gone up to Sinai. It could have been Ezra kibul Torah m'Sinai. That's how great Ezra Sefer was. Narvas, El Malik called me Moshe. Moshe preempted him. How do I know that? But Moshe, I mean by Moshe, they know it says, Moshe Ola El Elikit. But Ezra, who I mer, who Ezra Ola Mibavel. Ma, Leah Amurkan, Taira. Just like by Moshe, when it says that he was Ola Elikit, it meant he went to be Mekabal Taira. Afa, Leah Amal Alon, so too by Ezra means Taira. But Moshe, I mer, by Moshe, it says, Vaisi Siva Hashem, Vaisi Hid Lamed Es Chukim Mishpat. Hashem commanded me to teach you, Klal Yisro Chukim Mishpat. But Ezra, who I mer, ki Ezra Hechin, Levavi, Lidrish, Taira, Hashem, Alikov. He also was told to teach chukum u'mishpatim. So says Rabbi Yosi, Ezra was so great that ru'uya Torah li noten al yedei Ezra il mole kod me'mosh, and Moshe Rabbeinu not chapped him. Even though the Torah wasn't given al yedei Ezra, neshtan al yodai, the Torah was tweaked. It was changed al yedei Ezra. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, and the Gemara is going to quote now three psukim. The first is in Ezra Perek Dalet. We just said that Ezra gave the Torah in Lashon Arami. A lot of Sefer Ezra is really written in Lashon Arami. And the pasuk over there says, you need nekudos, trust me. Uksav hanishtavon, kasuv aramis, umeturgim in aramis. Fixiv, and the pasuk also says, "V'lok kahalin k'sova le'mikre u'fishrei lahida l'malka." Fixiv, and that one thankfully is written in the lashon hakodesh. V'kasev es mishnah hatayra hazois. That's the pasuk that got us into this whole sugya. That was the pasuk that in the previous gemara we learned that the melech had two sifrei Torah, mishnah Torah. Here, mishnah Torah teaches me k'sav haruya l'shtanis, not miloshin a second sefer Torah, but miloshin chinoy lama. That it was a ksav, haruya l'shtanis, and then Rabbi Yosef concluded, lama nikashma ashuris. Why was the ksav called ksav ashuris? Sh'ol imam me'ashur, because it came from them with ashes. Rabbi Yosef said that even though the Torah wasn't given al-Yedei Ezra, despite the fact it could have, would have, and should have, it could have, technically, but it wasn't, but nishtana Torah al-Yadai. Where was it nishtana al-Yadai? The ksav. The ksav was nishtana. Because until Ezra, we had ksav Ivri. From Ezra on, we had ksav Ashuris. How does he know it? He based it on three psukim. The first pasuk refers to the ksav hanishtavon. That's a ksav that changed. So you see, there was a new ksav floating in the times of Ezra. The second one is loy kolein ksav le mikra upish loy dal amakul. We'll get back to that in a second. And the third is v'kosav es mishnah ha-Torah hazois. There's already a remez in the Torah. It remes in Sefer Dvarim that the ksav would be real ishtanis, and that's what it means when the Torah refers to the ksav of the Torah as being Mishnei HaTorah, ksav haro'i l'ishtanis. So what's that middle pasuk, and what's the rest of the story? The middle pasuk took place at the end of the 70th year from when Bavel took reign over the world. We know that there was a nevuah that the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar and his army, would destroy the first base of Mikdash. And there was a Nevuah, Yirmiyahu had said the Nevuah, Yeshaya HaNavi, 100 years earlier, had said the Nevuah as well, that the Golus would last for 70 years. But the truth is that there was a lot of confusion about the 70 years. The Gemara discusses it in Masechet Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph on the base. The Gemara says even Daniel made a mistake, even he didn't know how to cheshbon the real 70 years. But the truth is that there were three sets of 70 years that played itself out. Number one, Bavel was going to be king for 70 years. They were going to rule the world. They were Shmoylech Bekipa for a 70-year period. Number two, the Yidden were going to be in Bavel for a period of 70 years. And number three, the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed until 18 years after the first Yidden went to Bavel. The Beis HaMikdash itself would be Chorev. It'd be in a state of Shemema for a number of 70 years. So it's at the end of the 70 years from when Bavel became king. Nebuchadnezzar was the first king. He was king for 45 years. His son's name was Evel Merodach. Evel Merodach was king for 23 years. 45 plus 23 is 68. His son was Belshazzar. Belshazzar was king for 2 years. At the end of the 2 years, Belshazzar knew that the Yidden was supposed to be in Gaulus for 70 years. After 70 years, the redemption was supposed to come. But the 70 years came and went, and there was no redemption. So in his mind, it was all over. Belshazzar decided that he's going to celebrate. He's going to make a big party. And the party was that he takes out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, takes out the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. They had it. They took it with them when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, just like Titus did, as the Arch of Titus, at the end of Churban Bayis Sheni. Nebuchadnezzar did it at the end of Churban Bayis Rishon as well. So they bring all the kelim with them, and Belshazzar takes it out, and he makes this huge celebration, this huge party. They're going to celebrate the fact that the Yidden are not going to be redeemed. While they're sitting at the party, they hear noises. They hear footsteps. They hear horses and cavalry coming from the distance. And Belshazzar starts tumbling. What is this? What's going on? And they see that the enemy is coming. The enemy was a joint venture between the Persians and the Medes, north and southern Iran. They were coming together. Koresh, who was the Melech of Paras, Daryavesh, who was the king of Madai, and they were going to come together, and they wanted to try to overthrow the king. Belshazzar gets nervous. What is this? What does this mean? Is there going to be a war? And while they're sitting around, they see a hand, miraculously a hand, detached from a figure. It comes down and it starts writing on the wall. But the problem is nobody was able to read it. Nobody knew what the meaning of the writing on the wall was. And they start tumbling and no one knows what's going on. They call Daniel. Daniel was a young, wise advisor to the king. And they bring in Daniel. None of my men, none of my henchmen have any idea what the writing on the wall says. Maybe you can help us. And Daniel says, I'm going to tell you exactly what it says. It's Hebrew lettering. It says, Mene, Mene, Tekal, Ufarsin. Mene, Mene, four words. Tekal, Ufarsin. And the Gemara later is going to say that what he was meant was, the interpretation was, is that Hashem counted your years, your days, your time. He weighed your schusim and your averes. The long and short of it, Baal Shetzer, is you're going up in a blaze of glory. It's all over. That the Persians and the Medes, they're going to take over the kingdom. You made a mistake with your 70 years. You don't have a... The bottom line is, it's all over. This is going to be the end. And Kachava, it was the writing on the wall. And that was the end of Baal Shetzer. Said Rabbi Yossi, why was Daniel able to read the Lashon Kodesh when nobody else was able to read the Lashon Kodesh? There wasn't one person over there who had a Rebbe in Cheder with an Aleph Bina that taught him Kometz Aleph. Nobody knew it. The only person that knew it was Daniel. The Teretz says, because up until that time, they didn't have Ksav Ashuris. They didn't have the alphabet that we have. You know what they had? They had Ksav Ivri. So yeah, there was an Aleph Bina, but it was a different Aleph Bina. They knew how to read Ksav Ivri. No one knew how to read Ksav Ashuris. But Daniel was a Novi. He was a Chayza. He knew Baruch HaKodesh, what's going on. He was able to read. He was the only person, and it was from that point forward, right around that time, that's when Ezra goes up, and that's when Ksav Ashuris becomes real. Those Yidden that lived in Ashur and in Babel at that time were the first ones to adopt it. That's why it was called Ksav Ashuris, because it came from Ashur. Very difficult to take in. We'll see soon what the Rishonim say about this. But that's the simple reading of the Gemara. So said Rav Yossi, that Ruya Hoysa Torah Shetinasa Aydei Ezra. And even though it wasn't given Aydei Ezra, Nishtan Al Yodai HaKsav. The Ksav was changed. It was tweaked Aydei Ezra. Because up until that point, it was Ksav Ivri. But from here to forward, it was going to be Ksav Ashuris. Where does it come from? He has three psukim. He has a pasuk Ksav HaNishtavon, the Ksav that changed. He has this whole story with Daniel. That's Psad in the Mice with Daniel. Said Rabbi, this is Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta, right? Say the Reilu. This is Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta. So he's telling you the history. He's the Marada Astra when it comes to the rest of the story. This is what happened. That's why nobody was able to read it. And by the way, it's Merumas in the Pasuk, Mishnei HaTorah, the same Pasuk that some think is the Makar that the Melech had to have two Sifrei Torah. This is not. That's not what it means. Mishnah doesn't mean two Sifrei Torah. It means that it's a Ksav Hasuya Lishtanis. Tanya, but the Gemara says is another price. Rabbi Yemi Rabbi says, no. Betchila b'Ksav Zed in the Torah Yisrael. Ksav Ashuris was the original Ksav. When Moshe was Kibbol Torah Misinai, he took down the Sefer Torah. It was written b'Ksav Ashuris. Narkiv, Anshachatu, but being that Klal Yisrael sinned, they were no longer worthy of having Ksav Ashuris. So Nepach Lehem L'Royetz. Hashem took it away. Rashi says the word Royetz is from the Lashon Tiratz Oyev that you say in Ozzy Asher. Took it away from them. They forgot it. Kivan Shechazru Behem, when the Yidden did Tshuva, Hechziru Lehem, it was given back to them. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, it's the Pasuk in Zecharia, Shuva L'Bitzor in Asiri Atikva, Gam Hayoim, Magid Mishnah, Ashuv Lach, says the Gemara, Lama Nikashma Ashuris. Why was it called Ksav Ashuris? Rav Yossi said it was called Ksav Ashuris because it had its origins in Ashur, in Assyria. But according to Rabbi, why was it called Ksav Ashuris? Shemu Usheris B'Ksav, because it's a beautiful Ksav. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Amy Mishum Rabbelez ben Prato, a third Shita. Shalma Mishum Rabbelez Amidah, Ksav Zalei Nishtana Kolikar. This Ksav Ashuris is the Ksav we had from the beginning, and it's the Ksav that we've always had. Meaning, he argued Sai with Rabbi Yossi and Sai Rebbe. Rabbi Yossi said it's not the original Ksav. The original Ksav was Ksav Ivri. I disagree, says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Of course this was the original Ksav. Rebbe said that it was the original Ksav, but we lost it for an interim period. No. This Ksav was Loi Nishtana Kolikar. How do I know that, Shenema? Because it says, regarding the Vavim that were in the Mishkan, that referred to as Vavei HaAmudim. Why were they called Vavei HaAmudim? Because they were shaped like a Vav. But Ma Amudim Leinishtanu, just like the Amudim are Chai V'Kayam forever. Av Vavim, so too the Vav, as being representative of the Chaf Beis Oisiyos of the Sefer Torah, Leinishtanu, will never change. V'Omer, another Raya, the Pasuk says, V'Alihudin Kechsam V'Chiloshoinam, and Ma Loshoinam Leinishtanu, just like we always had Lashon Kodesh, because everyone agrees that the Torah was given by Lashon Kodesh, Av Ksav Leinishtanu, so to the Ksav was Leinishtanu. Ela Mani Mekaimis Mishnah Torah Asois. What does it mean, Mishnah Torah Asois, if it was never Nishtanu? According to Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi, the Ksav was Nishtanu. But according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, the Ksav was never Nishtanu. So why does it say Mishnah Torah, Lishnei Torahis, Achas Sheyotze V'Nechneses Imoi, V'Achas Shemunach. It means the Melech's two Sifrei Torah. The one that he went out with, he used to tie on him like an amulet. Says the Gemara, parenthetically, the Idoch, the other man, the Amar, the man that says the Sifrei Melech did not have two Sefer Torah. He didn't have the special Sefer Torah that he carried with him wherever he went. So what then does Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Zomit mean? When somebody davens, he has to think, he has to have kavana, as if the Shechin is in front of him, Shenema Shevisa Hashem L'negdi Samid, right? Reb Chaim and Sefer, that even if Kavana B'tfilah is not ma'akiv, but the Kavana that you're standing, Lifnei HaMelech, that is ma'akiv. Either way, says the Gemara, the Reb Shimon, the Amar, Ksav Le'loy Nishtano, according to Reb Shimon, the Loss, who was the third sheet, who said the Torah was given B'Ksav Ashuris, and it's always been, Vavei Amudim, it's like the Amudim. The Vav is like the Amudim Le'loy Nishtano is also Le'loy Nishtano. My, what's Pshat? In the Maisa with Daniel. When it says, Loi Kolein Ksav LeMikra, nobody was able to read it. Why was nobody able to read it? Meaning, Rabbi Yossi had a great story. The reason no one was able to read the writing on the wall is because nobody knew Ksav Ashuris. Only Daniel knew Ksav Ashuris. But if you're telling me now that we've always had this Ksav, then what's Pshat? Then nobody was able to read the writing on the world. Oh my, Rav said, Begematria Ichtiv. It was written Begematria. Rashi says it doesn't mean Gematria like you usually think of Begematria, but it was written coded, Atbash. Exactly. You flip the Aleph and the Tav and the Beis and the Shin. So if you decoded it, you got to Mene Takalu Farsin. Meaning, had it said Mene Takalu Farsin, everybody would have been able to read it. But it didn't say that. It was written in some scrambled way, and therefore nobody knew how to make the calculation of Atbash, with the exception of Daniel. What did it say? Ichtav Lohoin, Yetas, Yetas, Adach Pukhamat. Which basically it means, my parishlu. What, I mean, what he told him was, Menei Menei Tekalu Parsin. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? What's the definition of Menei Menei Tekalu Parsin? Menei Menei Alekom Malchusech, Kadosh Baruch Hu counted your Malchus, Vehishlamtoloch, and he said, it's done, it's over. Your 70 years are finished. Tekakel Tekilta B'maznaya, Neden Tekal, he weighed your mitzvahs, and your averis v'shtakchas chaser parsin prisas malchusas, and you realize that we're going to have to ufarsin, we're going to have to hack up your malchus. It's time for you to be done with the yehivus, and we're going to give it l'modei upar. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said mamtus ninkefi alrun, meaning it said menei menei tekaru farsin, but it said it in a jumbled way, so it was all scrambled, and it's for that reason that he just had on, meaning it wasn't atbash. Atbash was very neat. It was menei menei tekaru farsin, but atbash. Alright, so very good, right? Okay, Rabbi Yochanan Amar anam lakas nisrefu. Rav Ashi Amar nema katal uforsin. Basically, you have to flip the first two letters of each word. But whatever exactly the methodology is, you get the point. But this Gemara is a pel. You have a Gemara over here. We have one Tana Rabbi Yossi, and you have Mar Zutra, and some say Mar Ukva, that the Torah originally wasn't given B'Ksav Ashuris. So if you would have seen the Torah once upon a time, you would have no, you wouldn't be able to read it. Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah was given B'Ksav Ivri. It's a Pella for so many reasons. Number one, it's a Pella. We're all familiar with the Tagin that the Sefer Torah has. The Tagin are unique to the letters. It's unique to the K'sav Ashuris. There's no Tagin on K'sav Ivri. Number two, we know there's an idea of Eile HaMitzvah. Oh, one second. We know there's an idea of a Navi is not Rashoi Mechadish Dover. A Navi can't be Mechadish anything. So if a Navi can't be Mechadish anything, he's Mechadish the Ksav. Ezra, he could be as great as Moshe. It doesn't matter. He's still not allowed to be Mechadish anything. Mordis Kasha. Mem v'samach shebeluchos benes hayoimdim. Right, the Gemara says the end of Mem and the Samach in the Luchos were benes. Right, because you had the middle of the Mem and the Samach, and they were floating in midair. So Benes HaYoyim. Now, if you look at Ksav Ivri, the Mem and the Samach wouldn't be Benes. You know which letter would be Benes, say the Rishonim? The Ayin would be Benes. But it's not the Mem and the Samach. So you see clearly that there was a Mem and a Samach back in the day. Because you see that Belucha is Benes HaYoyim. And besides, from the Hashkafa standpoint, this just seems very difficult to take in, to consume. This is a big pill to swallow. So how do you understand this idea that the Torah was not given B'Ksav Ashuris? Say the Rishonim. The Ritva in Masechtas Megillah, Daf Beis, and the Ritvaz and the Tshuva, they say that Avada, when the Torah was given originally, the Torah was given B'Ksav Ashuris. But K'sav Ashuris was Mu'usher Shebiksavim. It was so Choshev, it was so Dehoibin, that the Yidin felt, Moshe Rabbeinu felt, that it wasn't maybe something that all the Yidin, it wasn't for public consumption. So what they did was, the Luchais had it, because that was Michtav Elikim, but in the Sifrei Torah, Moshe didn't want to write the Sifrei Torah. He wanted instead to write it B'Ksav Ivri. It was a decision that he made. He felt that let's keep it holy. It should be Kodesh HaKadoshim. It should be with the Luchos, but it shouldn't be anywhere else. So he kept it separate. So Avada Ezra wasn't Mechadish T'Ksav later. It's something he wouldn't have been able to do. And Avada Men V'Samach Shebeluchos B'Nesayomdim. Because as far as the Luchos go, it was certainly there. The question, however, was in terms of the regular Sifrei Torah, that's something they felt should be better B'Ksav Ivri. Later it was changed. Ezra felt Fakert, let's change it in Ksed to Ksav Ashuris. But to say that there was no Ksav Ashuris at all, Avadanat, and that's the Gemara, remember, Samash Shabaluchas Benes HaYoyim, again, there's a very Shver Sugya, it's not an easy Gemara to understand, but the Rishayim already are bothered with it, there's a Tshuva from the Radvaz, where he has an Arichos Gedoyla, talking to a Shoyal, trying to explain this Gemara, regardless of fascinating Gemara. Just one sidebar, as it relates to this Gemara, is that the Gemara says that Biru lehem liYisrael ksav ashuris v'loshen hakodesh, but the hedyotos uman hedyotos kutoi, they were mevarer for themselves ksav ivris and loshen arami. So again, who are the Kuthians? Who are the Kutim? So the Kutim were from a country called Kuta. Kuta was in Iraq, in that area, somewhere in the Middle East. And when the Aseres HaShvatim were taken into Golos, so the king of Asher, who took them into Golos, didn't want that there should be such a large vacant piece of property that the majority of Eretz Yisrael should be fallow. It's not good. It's not smart. So he imported people from different parts of the world. Many of them were from Kuta. They were the most prominent of the group. And thus, all the Yidden that came from that group were known as the Kutim. Now, the Kutim re-emerged many, many times. Many times throughout the Torah Shebiksav. They're mentioned in Sefer Ezra and the Torah Shebapeh. Josephus talks a lot about them. So this Kutim come up a lot. The Of course, the sugi is Geri Emes, Geri Arois, but it's a whole, again, Ein Kama Kami L'Harach. But just one thing that's worth mentioning, and that is that the Kutim, you may not know this, unbeknownst, had their own Beis HaMikdash. And their Beis HaMikdash wasn't on the Har Meiriyah, it was on Har Gerizim. The Kutim set up shop on Har Gerizim. It's a Gemara Masechtas, Yumad Af Samech Tesam and Aleph. Some say that when Alexander the Great, there's basis to it in the Gemara, came to Israel the first time, he went to Har Gerizim, and he went to the Kutim, and the Kutim told Alexander the Great to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. There's so much Torah that the Kutim had a specific, a personal agenda, a vendetta, connected the Beis HaMikdash, even when Antiochus, times of Hanukkah, was going after the Yidden. Josephus has a letter that the Kutim wrote to Antiochus and his people. Yeah, go after the Jews. They're terrible. They're horrible. So the Kutim are always associated with the Beis HaMikdash. Again, that's a whole different thesis. But the Kutim set up shop in Har Gerizim. What's interesting is that there's still Kutim today. There are Kutim today that live on Mount Gerizim. You go to Har Gerizim, it's overlooking Shechem, that's where it is. There are Kutim that live on Har Gerizim today. And not only are there Kutim that live on Har Gerizim today, but those Kutim, also known as the Samaritans, those Kutim have a Sifrei Torah. They keep a form, a version of, a very distorted version of the Torah, and all their Svarim are written B'Ksav Ivri. They still have B'Ksav Ivri. And I'll just tell you something very, very interesting. The Ramban, in his Pirush al Torah and Parshas Kisisa. And the context over there is the Rishonim are discussing the Machzah Shekel. What exactly was the Shekel? You had to bring a Machzah Shekel. What was the Machzah Shekel? It's in parentheses. It's in the Ramban al Torah and Parshas Kisisa. I saw this years ago. Berchani Hashem, says the Ramban, Ad koish ezochisi ubasi la'akoi. Ramban famously made Aliyah. So Ramban says, Baruch Hashem, I arrived at the port of Akko. The Ramban is in Eretz Yisrael. And I met some of the elders of the land. Matpeya, a coin. Kesef, made out of silver. Mefutach, pituche chosam. And there were engravings on it. Mitzidoya echot kein makel shokin. On the one side, I couldn't make it out exactly, the Ramban says, but it looks to me like an almond branch. Umitzidoya sheni, on the other side of the coin, is kein sluchas. It looks like a jar. There's writing on it. Writing that is not legible to me because I don't understand it, but it's written very clearly. I just can't read it. I showed it to the local Samaritans. They were able to read it in an instant. It made perfect sense to them. They said it's Ksav Ivri. And they told me they use it. Sanhedrin says, Raman, like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Gemara that we just learned, that the Kutim still had the Ksav Ivri. And they read it. You know what it said? Mitzad Echad, it said Shekel Hashkolim. Umitzad Asheni, it said Yerushalayim Akdosha. And they told me that the two pictures that I saw, the almond branch is the Makol Shalaharoin that has on it Shkedeah
uprochel. It's almonds and it's blossoms. Vahatzura hashenis. And the picture on the other side is the jar of the mud. It's the tzinsenes hamud. Vishakal nuaisa, says Rama, we weighed this coin, bishulchanos, by the money changers, umishkole asura kesev. It's sterilinch. The name chatzi ha'ukia she'eskira Rashi's. It's exactly half of Rashi's shekel. Dvar in the flum. He says v'chein ro'isim and amat be'ahu betzura zayim b'ksiva. He saw half of that. Either way, it corroborates with Rashi's version of exactly what the shekel was. But again, the ksav ivri, the hedyotes were mevar, and the Rabban says in his time they were still using ksav ivri. And by the way, nowadays in our times, in 2017, there are still kuthim that are living on har grizim. They have a sifrei Torah, and their sifrei Torah is written b'ksav ivri. Zok the Mishnah right there. More halachas regarding the king. Ein reich men al susai. Now let a ride on the horse of the king. Sounds like a bad idea. Ein yosh men al kisai. An even worse idea. You're not supposed to sit on his kisei. Ein mishtamshin v'sharvite. Nor should you use his staff. Ein reich men al susai k'shum estapi. Now let us see the king while he was taking a haircut. V'loi k'shu arum. V'loi k'shu beveis ha-merchus. Nor when he was in the beis ha-merchus. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Sayim tasim alecha melech. Shetehei emasai alecha. And even if he wants to be meichel al-kvoidai, we know melech shemachel al-kvoidai, ein kvoidai. Machl, a little bit more Tanakh. Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, Avishag Muteres L'Shloim. Avishag Hashunamis was allowed to marry Shloim HaMelech, but Vasur L'Adoniyo, she wasn't allowed to marry Adoniyo. Muteres L'Shloim, she was allowed to marry Shloim the Melech, because Shloim was a Melech. U'Melech Mishtamesh B'Shavitei Shal Melech. And a king is allowed to be Mishtamesh with the staff of the Melech, so that Avishag Hashunamis is the equivalent of Shavitei Shal Melech. She's like the staff of the Melech, so Shloim is allowed to marry her. Vasur l'adoniyo, but she's not allowed to marry the adoniyo. The head yit took as adoniyo was a head yit, and therefore, you know, Avishag Mai, who exactly was Avishai? Dichziv, it's Pesukim in the beginning of Sefer Melech. Melech David Zokim Baba Yom. David Melech was old. Vayomer l'avadov, says Avadim, say, Yevakshu, let's go find for the king a young woman, someone that's going to warm David Melech. Dichziv, and the Pasik says, Vayevakshu Naira Yofa, they found a Naira Yofa, a young, beautiful girl, Bechol Gvul Yisrael, most beautiful girl in all of Eretz Yisrael, and her name was Avishag Hashunamis. Vayavisu Oysel HaMelech. And the pasuk continues and says, Vahanayro Yofa Ad Ma'oit. Vatihila Melech Seichenes Vatishar Seyo. She served David HaMelech, but Vamelech Lo Yada. But David HaMelech never married her, and certainly never got involved in any relations together with Avishag Hashunamis. Says the Gemara, Amro, Avishag approaches David HaMelech and says, thank you. Amro, she said, Nintzava, I knew the Kasha, and I knew that was the Teres. So Avishag Hashunamis turns to David HaMelech and says, will you marry me? Amro, Allah, so he told her, seriously, I'm not letting to marry you. Rashi says, because David HaMelech already had 18 wives, and a melech wasn't allowed to have more than 18 wives. Amro Leisa, she told him, Chatsre Leganva Nafshli L'Shlom Anakis. So she told him a cute phrase. She says, you know, when a ganev can't find anyone to steal from, he says, oh, I'm not a ganev anymore, I did tshuva. Yeah, that's because you have nobody to rip off. But the minute he has somebody he can take advantage of, all of a sudden, it's not as a frim anymore. So he says, David HaMelech, I don't think that you're telling me the truth. I think that the reason you don't want to marry me is because you're very old and you really can't be married. But if you were younger, you certainly would have married me. Amar Aluhu, so David HaMelech said, Karuli the Batsheva, call Batsheva, David HaMelech's wife. Viksiv, the Pasuk says, Vatovei Batsheva El HaMelech HaChadera, that Batsheva entered the room together with David. Amar Rabbi Yudah Amarab, Ba'usisho, Kincha Batsheva, B'shloish Esrei Mapas. David HaMelech was boiled Batsheva 13 times to show Avishag Hashunamis that really he wasn't too old to get married, and they needed 13 Mapas Batsheva did in order to be Mekaneach after the Bia. So Avishag Hashunamis is not married to David HaMelech, but she's the equivalent of Sharvitei Shel Melech. She's a maid, she's a servant, she's someone that's taking care. She's attending to David HaMelech, and it's for that reason that another Melech, such as Shloima HaMelech, could have used Avishag Hashunamis as well to be Mishores him. Because he's a Melech, and a Melech could be Mishtamish B'Sharvitei Shel Melech. But Adoniyo, who was a Ben Melech, he was David HaMelech's son, but he wasn't a Melech himself, he would have no right to be Mishtamish B'Sharvitei Shel Melech. Amar Rav Shemin Bar Abba, Boy Rei Kamakosh and Gerushin. Take a look at how Chomer divorce is. David HaMelech, they allowed him to be Miyachid with Avishag Hashunamis.
Hashunamis. Now that you know that David wasn't married to Avishag Hashunamis, so the question begs itself, how's he allowed to be in the same room with her? If she's not his wife, how in the world is that okay? The teretz is, they felt David HaMelech needed it. But says the Gemara, wouldn't that make more sense for David HaMelech to divorce one of his wives? So now he'll have 17 wives. So you can marry Avishag rather than need to come on to Yichud. Says Rav Shem Bar Abba, take a look at how Chomer Gerushin is. Shari David HaMelech, he tiru loy liyache, they allowed him to be miyache, v'lo yitiru loy ligarish, but they didn't allow him to divorce one of his wives. Amar Rabbi Liyaz, kolom agarish, his sister said, anybody divorces his wife, avilim hazbeach, meru l'advice. Even the Mizbeach cries for him. Shenema, because the pasuk says, "V'zoy sheinis tasu kasoyz dimas Mizbeach Hashem bechiv anoko me'ein oit penois ala mincha v'lokachas rochtzoin miyetchem." So the pasuk over here is talking about dima of the Mizbeach, right? The tears of the Mizbeach. Fixiv amarta mama. You want to know why the Mizbeach is crying? Okay, Hashem heyud ben chov ben eshes nurecho asher bogadetobo v'chavertecho v'eshes brisecha, because you were biked on this woman, that's your chaverta, she's Eishes Brisecha, and now you defiled her, you divorced her, you sent her out of the house. That's why the Mizbeach is crying. A man's wife only dies if people want money from the husband and he doesn't have it. If you don't have money to pay, you're going to lose your wife. Somebody that loses his first wife, it's as if he experienced his own personal churban beis hamikdash. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, ben adam hinini lekeach mimchas machma deinecha b'magefa v'lo sispoid v'lo sifka v'lo savoy demascha. The pasuk says that Hashem comes to Yecheskel and he tells Yecheskel, your wife is going to die. Bad besura. Your wife is going to die. But I'm instructing you that in contrast to the way a person ordinarily mourns his relative, by the way, we learned Hilchas Avelis from Yecheskel, because he tells him all the things that he's not allowed to do. So in contrast to all the things that ordinarily an Avel would do, you cannot do it. Loi sispoid, v'loi sifke, v'loi tavoi demasech, v'ksiv adabri ala omba, b'ikir v'thomas ishi b'harif, v'ksiv hinini mechalis, miktoshi go'in uscha machma deinechem. The people are going to ask you, what's going on over here? And what you should tell them is that what just happened to me is a microcosm of what's about to happen to the entire nation. Because the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. So Hashem used as a mashal for Chorban Beis HaMikdash Yecheskel's wife dying. Says the Gemara, Kol Adam Shemesu Ishtoi Rishayna Kilu Chara Beis HaMikdash B'yom. The Mashal says in Chedush HaGadol, right here on this Gemara, what's the connection between Chorban Beis HaMikdash and Ishtoi Shel Adam dying? Says the Mashal, just like a person when his first wife dies, cannot get over it. The Gemara is going to say later that it's one thing that there's no replacement for. A person loses his first wife, unfortunately, it's something that's very difficult for him to get, come to terms with. So too, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Marsha says it's thousands of years later, and we're still mourning the Beis HaMikdash. We're still mourning the Beis HaMikdash. It's an Avelis Yeshon, it doesn't matter. But it's something that's fresh. So just like Ishtar Yeshon is something that a person can't come to terms with, this is something that a person can't come to terms with either. Something that came to mind was the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam's Perik Yud Halacha Gimel. It's a beautiful Lashon HaRambam. It's just kedai to read the Rambam. The Rambam's talking about the mitzvah of the Ahavta as Hashem Elokecha, the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, says the Rambam, the Ketzadi Ahava Ru'uyo. What is the Ahava HaRu'uyo that a person's supposed to have? Listen to this. Husheyev as Hashem Ahava Gedoyla. A person should love Hashem Ahava Gedoyla. Yisera Rabba Aza. Admoit, a lot of adjectives. Achete Navshay Kishura Bahavas Hashem. Venim Tashayga Batomet. The Rambam creates this unbelievable ideal for the level of Ahavas Hashem that a person is able to achieve. Right? You think of Ahavas Hashem as some abstract madriga. In the Rambam's world, it was very, very real. The Rambam says a person can have this burning love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the point where he's shayga batamin. He thinks about it all the time. Ke'ilu chaylei ahav. He's literally sick from love. She ain't daitam penuyim ahavas isha. He says, just like you find people that they're in love with a woman, and ain't daitam penuya may ahavas isha. Shehu shayga batamid. He thinks about her all the time. Bein b'shifta when he's sitting, bein b'kumi when he's standing, bein b'shashu oichal b'shayso when he's eating and when he's drinking. Yes, sir, he said more than that. Says the Rambam, Tia ahavas Hashem b'leiv oyavo. That's what ahavas Hashem has to be. Shayga batamid kemoishat zivanu b'chalavavcha. uvechol nafshecha uvechol moidecha. That's what Shlomo HaMelech when he said derech moshel ki chaylas ahava ani vechol shira shirim hu moshel le'inyinze. Says the Rambam, do you ever understand shira shirim? Shira shirim, it's all a moshel, right? Shlomo and shira shirim is like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, misha ashom shalom. So the moshel that's used to describe a person's ideal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ahavas Ish V'Isha. That's what Shir HaShirim is. It's all about Kicholas Ahava Ani Ish V'Isha. You know why? Because that is the mashal. Just like a person can relate to Ahavas Isha, it's in that same vein that a person has to understand the Nimshal. And the Nimshal is to appreciate what it means V'Ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, that a person can really achieve that. So maybe that's Pshat in the Gemara. The connection between a person losing his first wife and Churban Beis HaMikdash is because, and I heard this really on Shabbos from Moshe Weinberger, so he spoke about Churban Beis HaMikdash. He says people don't realize exactly what Churban Beis HaMikdash was. We don't have karbanis, you know, we don't have a place that we could do the Avodah. It's all true, but really what it was is when there was a Beis HaMikdash, there was Shekhinah. There was a very intense manifestation of Shekhinah. And that meant there was an ability for a person to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was the ability for a person to have this unbelievable relationship with Him, where you can love Him, you can be afraid of Him, do certain things that you wouldn't do, because if the Melech is here, you would never do it. Now you're removed. You live in a world of Hester upon Him. So he said today, I'm not going to tell you the examples he gave, but he says today people will do things because they don't see Hashem. But once upon a time, you could feel it. Hashem was there. There was that real Hashrois Hashchina, certainly in Yerushalayim, and certainly if you got to the Beis HaMikdash, Har Maria, the Harabayas, there was this amazing, intense manifestation of Shechina. So really, when the Beis HaMikdash was Charev, you know what we lost? We didn't just lose we lost the entire relationship. A relationship of Shir HaShirim, that's what we lost. So there's a connection called Adam Shemesa Ishta Rishayna Kilu Charev Beis HaMikdash B'yamah. You want to have a muscle. You want to understand what Churban Beis HaMikdash was. Amar Rabbi Eichanan. You want to know Ishtayr Mishifurid Yerushalayim. He understood a little bit. Vasa Gemeint Yerushalayim, Vasa Gemeint Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rabbi Eichanan. You want to appreciate a little bit what Churban Beis HaMikdash was. Kol Adam Shemesa Ishta Rishayna Kilu Charev Beis HaMikdash B'yamah. That relationship that you lose, that connection, that feeling of not being alone, that feeling that a person has when he's married, and he loses when he loses his Ishta Rishayna, that was Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's your mashal. Ahavas Isha is the mashal for Ahavas Hashem. Losing your Ishta Rishayna is the mashal for Churban Beis HaMikdash. So kol adam shemesa Ishta Rishayna ki'ilu chara Beis HaMikdash v'yamam. Amar Rabbi Alexandri. Kol adam shemesa Ishta v'yamam ilum chashav alayv. If a person loses his wife during his lifetime, his world becomes dark. Shenema ur chashach ba'olav v'neire olav yiduch. Rabbi Yisrael Chanin amab siyot miskatzrois. His steps become a little shorter. He loses some of the jump in his step. Shenema Yetzru Tzadei Oinoi. Rebbe Bo, I'm at Tzasenei Fellas. He loses his ability to say good advice. Shenema Vatashlicheu Atzasei. I'm a Rabbi Bar Bachan, Rabbi Yechon. Kosho Lezav, Kon Kikriyas Yams. Stating that, Ishtar Rishayna is so important, it's very difficult for Hashem to put a man and a woman together. How difficult? Kikriyas Yams. Shenema Likim Moshe Yechidim Beisa, Moitzi Asirim Bekosharois. That's the Pasuk from where we learn that kosher lezavkon kikriyas yams. Afraid the Gemara is that so? Amy. From Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, send the name of Rabbi Abraham Yom Kedim Tzias Avlad. Baskol yoytzeis v'yoy meres bas ployni leployni. Zach the Gemara lekasha habez evigrishin habez evigsheni. Very good. Bias Risha Mai Shay. Ha bezivig Rishon. Ha bezivig Shay. So Pasha, what does it mean? First marriage. First time to the rodeo. So that's Arbam Yom Kodim Tzias Avad. Zivik Sheni, that's already going to be different. Now we've spoken at the Meiri, where the Meiri says, what's the difference between Zivik Rishon and Zivik Sheni? Zivik Rishon is before he turns 20 years old. After he turns 20 years old, Hashem says, Tipach Atzamois, Gemara, Zachtis Kedushin, what's that? Stuff like, yes, over there, after 20 years old, at that point already, maybe it's the kashal is avdin kikriyas yamshut. It's not that bum yom kodim tiras avad. We've spoken out to Eben Ezra. Listen to the Shirei Adaf and the Sechtes Kedushin Daf Lamed, where we spoke out the Eben Ezra, where the Eben Ezra says that the only time it's true that Abam Yoim Koidim Yetziris Avlad Baskol Yoitzis Vaymeres is only in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, the Shaduchim happen Bashkocha, but outside of Eretz Yisrael, not either way. Zochte Gemara Vayit Amrav Shulman Nachmin Lakol Yesh Tmura. There's always a tamura, meaning you lose something, you can replace everything. Moshe Meis v'Yeshua Machnas, right? Even Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the same. Moshe was the Chama, Yeshua was the Levana. But Moshe Meis v'Yeshua Machnas, but chutz me'eshes ne'urim. Shenema v'eshes ne'urim kiti mohis. A person's wife that he has from a young age,
there's no tamura. So Rabbi Yehuda was once learning with his son Rabbi Yitzchak. So this is the great Amori Rabbi Yehuda, and he tells his son Rabbi Yitzchak, you should know, ein adam moitzi koyres ruach ela mi ishta rishayna, only from a person's first wife. Shenema, and he had a pasuk for it. Yehi mekarcha baruch usmach me isha. Simcha comes from your wife. Nu rech. Amalai, so he told him, kegoy man. You have an example of that perfect woman. Amalai keinimcha, like your mother. Frank the Gemara. Is that true? Rabbi Yehuda told his son about his wife, his son's mother, that she is the spitz, H's Naurim. But the Rabbi Yehuda was once learning with his son, and he came to the following pasuk. It says, "Umaytzani mar mimaves eso isha," that the only thing worse than death is a wife. Ashihi metsudim v'charamim, she's just trappings. V'amaloi, and his son said, "Tati kigoy man." Like your mother. So the kasha is, which one was it? Was she the Ashes Nurim? Or was she Moitzani Marmi Mavis Eso Isha? So the Gemara says that really she was both. It depended on her mood. No, I'm kidding. Miska. Mistka Takifa. Really, she was very strong natured, but Ibura Ba'abra Mi'ila. But at the same time, she was also very. Ben Yoyada says that really there was all a shvach for her. She was meaning her natural tendency was to be tough, but she worked on herself. So even the Maitzani Mami Mavis was a shvach. He told his son, I want you to appreciate who your mother is. Your mother is someone that when she wakes up in the morning, she's Maitzani Mami Mavis, but she's Mechazik herself. Chazak V'yamatz. She strengthens herself. It was all part of the shvach. That's what he said. So of course, he can't read the pasuk Maitzani Mami Mavis as a isha without speaking out the Ben Yayad, the Mesechtes Bava Metziah, Daf Nun Tes, Amid Aleph, where the Ben Yayada says, Umaytzani marmi mavas eso isha. The Gemara says in the Sechtes Brachos Daf Ches Amud Aleph, but then it says matza isha matza toiv haketzad, right? Yontif, gross. Our in-house meicher yayin would be upset at me if I didn't speak this out now. Take my word for it. So the Gemara says matza isha matza toiv, and then it says umaytzani marmi mavas eso isha. Which one is this? Says the Ben Yoyada v'lulei defin stafina. I would say my own pshat. He says we know that ish and isha, ish is a man, isha is a woman, are both made up of aleph shin. A man has a yud, a woman has a hey. The gematria of yud is 10. The gematria of hey is 5. Says the Ben Yoyada, it's that way for a reason. The gematria of the man is twice as much as the gematria of a woman. And the reason is because in order to have a healthy marriage, the woman has to perceive her husband as if he's twice as good as her. And even if it's not true, but it doesn't matter. The bottom line is if the marriage is going to work, if there's going to be shalom bias, the bias has, they have to make sure that this is the way it's understood. They have to understand that he's 10 to her 5. That he's twice as much as her. Otherwise, if she feels that she's equal to him, it's not good for Shalom. It's not Mesugal for Shalom Bias. It's not going to be good. Said the Ben Yoyada, half of a fella. He says that if the woman is Isha, then it's good. She's 5 to his 10, which is Ish. But what if she thinks she's Ha Isha? She's the woman. You're adding 5 to Isha. Hey and hey is 10. Now they're going to be equal. Says the Ben Yoyada, Matzah Isha. If you found that Isha, Matzah Taif. Because if she's Isha, she's hey to your Ish, which is 10. She's half of you. She respects you as if you're more than, even if you're not. You could be a Baklan, it doesn't matter. But if she takes care of you that way, then that's great. Matzah Isha, Matzah Taif. But if it's Maitzani, mi marmi mavis es ha Isha. That's already marmi mavis. Best of grois, tzudis. That's already when it's not going to be good. Either way, Zokta Gemara, Vaita Amrav Shmuel Bar Unyo Mishmei Derav Isha Goylem. A woman is a Goylem now. Not the Goylem that you think of, but a Goylem over here means that she's an unfinished Keli because she's a Besula. The Eino Kares is Bris. She only gives herself emotionally. Lemisha Sokli. So the person that makes the Besula into a Be'ula, that's who she's Kareses Bris for. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Ki Bayalayach Isayach Hashem Tzvokos Shemoy. Tana, Ein Ishmeis El Ishtai. When a man dies, a lot of people mourn, people are disappointed, they're upset, but really the person that feels it the most is his wife. The Ein Isha Mesa, when a woman dies, El Olavayel, Ein Ishmeis El Ishtai, Shenema V'yomis Elimelech Ishnami. Elimelech died for Nami. Yeah, Rachel died, everybody cried. But Yaakov said, Mesa Lai Rachel. It affected me more than it affected anybody else. Just one final ara on these Gemaras. So, Ein Isha Kareses Bris, a woman only gives herself emotionally, to the person that's Bayil, that Bilo Rishayna, that makes her from a Besula to a Be'ula. It sounds familiar to the Loim de yeshiva, it's because Tosfos quotes in the Masechtas Ksubas Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara there refers to the first mitzvah, the first be'ilah, right? The be'ilah rishayna, the leil chasana, is a be'ilah mitzvah. So the Gemara says Tosfos, why is the be'ilah rishayna? Why is the Bi'ur Rishayna referred to as Bilas Mitzvah? Kari la Bilas Mitzvah Mishum Dechsev. So the text quotes this Gemara. It says, "By Alayach Isayach, Vamrinan Ein Nisha Kareses Bris Elo Nisha Oisa Oisa Kli." Va'yidei Kach, being that a woman gives herself to the man that turns her into a Kli, that makes her from a Besula to a Lula, that performs the Bi'ur Rishayna, Ayidei Kach Midbakba, she connects herself emotionally, Ubayin Ledei Piri of Arivya, and that leads. One thing leads to another. That leads to Piri of Arivya. Ulahachi karla the Bi'ur Rishayna Bi'ur Mitzvah. Because it's the Bi'ur Rishayna of the woman that leads to the Piri of Arivya. Because she gives herself to this man, which eventually will result in their being children. So the Bi'ur Rishayna is always called the Bi'ur Mitzvah. You know why it's called the Bi'ur Mitzvah? Ki bayalayach isayach. It's because of this Gemara. Einisha kares es bris, ela lemisha isa isa kli. Beautiful taste of being ksubis, daftal and amanav. Just one ara that we spoke at eons ago. And that is as Naim Latayra, the Lutzgerav, of Zalman Tzeratzkin said that why is it that you find that if someone's boiler Naira Murasa, he's chayiv skila. If someone's boiler ordinary eshes ish, he's only chayiv chenek. Really, it's hepech hasvara. It would make more sense for it to be more chamor if somebody is boil eshes ish, who's full-fledged married, than a naira murasa. Zokta lutzkerov ga'ines. He says because the naira murasa is a naira. She's a besula. Being that she's a besula, when someone goes and he's boiled the Bila Rishayna with this woman, that's, you know what he robbed this man of? He robbed this man of the Bila Smitzvah. He robbed this man of that dvekus that his wife could have had towards him for making her into this Keli, for performing the Bila Rishayna. Now this Shagits went and he did it. This person's chai. Not only is he chai, he's chai skilo. Someone's bailan esh, this is just another bia. But when someone is bailan aira murasa and he's oisa oisa kli, what he's doing is he's the one, this person who's not the husband, this is the person that's bailaya chesayah. Yeah, the churban is much worse. Unbelievable. It's for that reason that the punishment is going to be more chamar, a little more gemara. Ein royin oisa. So the Mishnah mentioned different halachas regarding the king. Tanu rabban, the melech, pasab, the melech. Used to take a haircut every day. Kain gadol, may erev Shabbos, erev Shabbos, every erev Shabbos. Kain hedid echad l'shoshim, once every 30 days. Melech, sabi b'chal yom hedid, the melech used to take a haircut every day, shenem, because the pasuk says, melech b'yofyoy techazen oynech, he always had to be looking his handsomest. So every day had to be his best day. So he always had to be perfectly groomed. Kain gadol, may erev Shabbos, why did kain gadol take a haircut every erev Shabbos? Amar rav Shmuel bar Nachman, amar rav Yochan, hayul mishmaris mischachos. Because every Shabbos there was a new mishmar, right? We know that there was a system of when the Kohanim used to serve, and the Mishmaros used to change every Shabbos. So Erev Shabbos, Kohen Gadol would take a haircut so that he would make a good first impression for the new Mishmar that was coming. Once the Mishmar saw him, he didn't have to shave every day like the king. But the first day, yes, the Kohen Hedid Echel Shoshin. How do you know the Kohen Hedid every 30 days? The Chsiv Roisham Lo Yigalechu Upera Lo Yishalechu Kosoin Yichsimu Esreshem. So the Kohen Hedid is not allowed to grow his hair too long. Veroisham Lo Yigalechu Upera Lo Yishalechu. The Yalav Pera Pera Mi Nazar. Chsiv Hoch it says Pera Lo Yishalechu. The Chsiv Hosam and it says by the Nazar Gadol Pera Sa Roishay. And Malah Halon Shloishim Yoim. Afkan Shloishim. How do you know over there Shloishim Yoim? Because Tanan, it's a Mishnah. Stam Nazir Shloishim Yoim. Vasim Yoim. And how do you know Stam Nazir Shloishim Yoim? Amar Rav Master. Rav Master said, Amar Kro, the Pasuk says, Kodesh Yeh, Begamatria, Talsan Ava. The word Yeh, the Nazir is supposed to be Kodesh Yeh. Yeh is Begamatria 30. By the way, of course, if you remember Nazir, Daf Hey, this is only one of two Pshatim in the Gemara. How do you know that Stam Nazir is Lamed Yoim? The other Pshat is Bar Pada. Bar Pada said it's because it says the word Nazir in the Torah 29 times. How do you get 30? But it says it 29 times. Rashi over there, Mesachtas Nazir quotes, Nazir has zero, has all the different places where it says it. But either way, stam the zero slamid yoim. So the para by the nazar is 30. Because when someone says I read nazar, one of the things he's not allowed to do is cut his hair. How long? 30 days. And it says ferosham lo yigalechu upera lo yishalechu. So what does it mean? You can't let it grow too long. How long? Para is
30 days. Says the Gemara. Maybe when it says it doesn't mean don't let it go 30 days. But maybe what it means is don't let it go at all. Amaleis, he told him as follows. Had it said first, don't let your hair grow. And then it would have said pera. Could the comment? I would hear the question maybe. But it says first upera and then it says lo yishalechu. So the way we dash in the pasuk is pera lahavi. You can have a chup. Narvash luche lo yishal. It can't be too long. You can't let it grow too much. Every 30 days. Ihachi frek the gemari ha idna nami. Why is it that today there's no such halacha that a kohen hedyin has to take a haircut every 30 days? Melech, so there's no melech. Kain Gadol, there's no Kain Gadol. But at least a Kain Miyuchis, right? A Kain, his last name is Rappaport. At least a Kain Miyuchis, at least him. Where's our in-house Kain Miyuchis when we need him? Want to check upstairs? So why is it, right? So Bizman Hazeh, you should have the same halacha. So the Gemara says, Dumya de Yayin, Ma Yayin. Just like once upon a time there was halacha that a Kohen Hedyin wasn't allowed to drink wine. But that is, it was only Bizman Bia who the Aser. It was only at a time when you could at the very least enter the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning Bizman Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim. But Shalom, Bizman Bia, Shari, Af Pri Rosh. So to the Iser to let your hair grow too long. Meaning to not take a haircut every 30 days, bizman bia us, it's only us in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but shalei bizman the Beis HaMikdash shari. Freak the Gemara, v'yayin shalei bizman bia shari. Is that so pasha? Does everybody hold that you're allowed to drink wine? Shalei bizman shalei bizman shalei bizman shalei. You tell me, you know why there's no iser for a kohen hedyin to let his hair grow more than 30 days? Because we're comparing the iser of cutting your hair or letting your hair grow too long to the iser of shtuya yayin. Just like shtuya yayin doesn't apply today because it's not bizman bia, so to that is it doesn't apply bizman as either. But the Gemara says, "V'tanya we learned to the Brisa, Rabbi Yemi, Rabbi said, Omer ani ichaut kohanim asurin lishtes yayin loy kohanim never allowed to drink wine even today. Avol ma esa, I would love to say that, but shetakonosoi kilkolosoi. Meaning, really, I'd love to say that a kohen can't drink wine today, but I can't say that a kohen can't drink wine today because there's no bizman mikdash today. So takonosoi kilkolosoi, the takona. The redeeming factor for the Kohen Hedyin is the Kilkala. It's Churban Beis HaMikdash. V'omer Abaye and Abaye commented, Kaman Shasi Kani Chamro Ha'idno. According to whom is it that Kohanim today drink wine? Ki Rebbe. It's like Rebbe. Michlal, what do you see from there? The Rabbanan Asri, that according to Rabbanan Kohanim, are not allowed to drink wine Bezman Hazeh. So if a Kohen is not allowed to drink wine Bezman Hazeh, so why is it that a Kohen is allowed to let his hair grow beyond 30 days? Again, we just said that there's halacha. The Kohen Hedyin used to have to, the Melech used to take a haircut every day, Kohen Gadol every Erev Shabbos, Kohen Hedyin every 30 days. Melech Kohen Gadol is not relevant, but Kohen Hedyin is relevant. We have Kohanim that are today. They're all Kohen Hedyin. So why is it that a Kohen Hedyin doesn't have the halacha today that he has to take a haircut every 30 days? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because there's two issurim mentioned regarding the Kohen Hedyin. Number one, he's not allowed to drink. Number two, he can't let his hair grow too long. Just like drinking doesn't apply today, so too letting your hair grow too long doesn't apply today either. But the Gemara says it's only Rebbe that said that a Kohen's allowed to drink Bizman Hazeh. It's only him that said that Allah doesn't apply. Because Abaye said, Kaman Shasi Kani Chamro Idna Karebi. You see from there that according to Rabbanan, you're not allowed to. So the Kash is that according to the Rabbanan that a Kohen's not allowed to drink wine today, he should have an obligation not to let his hair grow too long today either, says the Gemara. I'll tell you why. Hasam Hainu Taimah. You know why the Rabbanon held that a Kohen's not allowed to let his hair grow, or the Kohen's not allowed to drink wine today? Because Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash. We're concerned, not concerned, we're hopeful that the Beis HaMikdash will be built. Ubi'in a Kohen Aroi La'Avoida. And you're going to need a Kohen that's ready to do the Avoida. Veleka, if the Kohen, Kohen are all going to be drunk, who's going to do the Avoida? But the Gemara says, Achinami, here too, be the Kain Aroi Lavoid of Aleka. Kain can't do the Avoid if its chup is too long. So, aren't you worried about that? The Gemara says, Hoch, Ev Shidim Misap Avayah. No, it's very easy to take a haircut. All you need is a shaver. But Hossam over there, the Gemara says, Ev Nami, Ev Shidim, right? How are you going to sober up so fast? The Gemara says, what do you mean? Take a nap and sober up. Damar Ravacha, Ravacha said, Derech Mil Vashayna Kolshum, if you're going to say Ayin, that if you take a little walk or if you sleep, that's good to deal with a hangover, right? That, coconut water, there's other tricks, pickle juice, but is that cool? But the Gemara says, no, I just thought didn't have enough hashtags, so. You have another pen with blue ink. That's only true, that a little nap, right? That's good if you had a G'day Revis, yeah. Try having Yosef G'day Revis. Try mixing scotch and bourbon, see what happens. happens then. Then to the contrary, then taking a nap is going to make you even worse. So either way, the Gemara says very simple. You know why you can't drink bezman hazeh? Because what happens if the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built? You're going to have to, all the Kehana might be drunk, it's going to be a problem. But a haircut, that's not a big deal. Rav Ashi said a different teretz. Rav Ashi yom ha-shtuya yayin demach the avoid the gozer b'rabbana. If a kohen does the avoid the shtuya yayin, b'di'eved the avoid is possible. But pre rosh, if a kohen does the avoid and his hair is too long, the le'mach the avoid, where it doesn't possible, the avoid the le'y gozer b'rabbana, that rabbana didn't have an issue with. But the Gemara says, is that true? Meisvei ve'elu shebe miso, the following rechayim miso, pre rosh, the shtuya yayin, if a kohen does the avoid and his hair is too long, or he's ungeshekert, he's chayim misa. Bishlam shtuya yayin, the Gemara says, I know shtuya yayin dechsev, yayin v'sheicher al teisht atu v'necha v'loi tomusu. Clearly, don't get drunk so that you won't die. It's mashma, if you get drunk and you do the avodah, you will die. El apriya yirosh min nolon, the iske shtuya yayin l'apriya yirosh. It's because when make shtuya yayin l'apriya yirosh, dechsev yirosh l'ayga lechu, upera, lo yishalechu ma, and it says v'yayin lo yishtu. The two laven are mentioned next to each other. Mashtu yayin b'misa, af priyroish b'misa. Umina, mashtu yayin demachli avoda. Once you have this hekesh between shtu yayin and priyroish, you can make the hekesh in the reverse. That just like shtu yayin is machli avoda. If a kohen does the avoda while he shtu yayin, the avoda is possible. Af priyroish demachli avoda. Al kapana, Rav Ashi had another teres. Rav Ashi wanted to say, you know why a kohen is not allowed to drink today according to Rabbanon? Because what happens if the Beis HaMikdash is built that he does the avoda with the avoda? It's going to be a problem. But if his chup is too long and the Beis HaMikdash is built and he does that by the B'di'evit, it's not going to be a problem. That's why we're worried about don't getting drunk according to Rabbanon, but we're not worried about growing your hair too long. The problem is we just quoted a Braisa. And what did the Braisa say? That there's a hekesh between Shtuye Yayin and Priye Roish, and they both have to be the same. So if the halacha is that if a kohen gets ungeshekher, the avoid is possible, then the halacha is that if a kohen does the avoid with his hair too long, it has to be possible as well. What's the Gemara's teretz? Kasha. There is no teretz. Kasha.